I guess I need more than my throat to, with the mic off. I appreciate the Lord's goodness today. And it's interesting how many times I'll have thoughts on my mind, and the Lord reminds me that I need it probably more than you guys do. But that's the way it's supposed to be. We're all in the same boat. We all need the Lord. The salvation is exactly that. It's salvation. It's not self-help. It's not Jesus as our life coach. We need a Savior. And I thank God that we've got one. Praise God. Praise the Lord. I've had a thought come back to me in the last while from Colossians chapter 2. I believe there's a principle that if we got it in a deeper way, it would help us with our Christian lives. I think it's fair, safe to say that, you know, as we live, I don't know how much of what comes out of us is Jesus and how much of it is us. But I suspect it's not as much Jesus as we might like to think. And yet, we know what God has said in His Word. How do we get there? How in the world does this thing work? Now, Paul was writing to a group of Colossians, and he had never met them. It was somebody that had worked with him that had taken the gospel there, but he'd heard about them, and he was rejoicing in their faith, rejoicing in what God had done for them, how God had brought them out of the dominion of darkness. That's quite a straight statement, isn't it? Darkness is a power that holds this world under its grip. And folks, we need a Savior if we're going to get loose from that. We're part of a kingdom here. We're born into it. We need a Savior. But what Paul was lifting up was, this is how you got out. There's a Savior who was able to rescue you from that. We need rescue. Not one here that has it in them to somehow qualify. We need a rescuer. Praise God, is by grace entirely. So anyway, and brought us out of that darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. To Him be the glory. And He lifts up Jesus and all that He's done and who He is. And He comes down to the secret of everything. This is just a setup for where I'm going. But there's a mystery that God wanted everybody to know. And that's the secret of this. What is the riches of the mystery of God? In verse 27, Christ in you, the hope of glory. See, Christ saving us is not a matter, as we've said many times, of giving us a ticket to heaven with a get out of jail free card. I'm not going to charge you for your sins. I'm going to let you into heaven. Folks, we're not fit for the kingdom that God has prepared. But there is a hope that God has planted in the heart of everyone who knows Him. A hope is not an expectation. There's a conviction in the heart that my destiny has been changed. God has called me out of darkness, but it's not just so, okay, here I am. There's a destiny that He has called me to, and it's called glory. He's taking me from all that was wrong with me and making me somebody who could live in a place like Isaiah saw and be at home and be completely free from all the effects of sin and death. Folks, we're living in a world that is ruled by that, and more than we would like to admit, it's kind of what rules in us. In a practical sense. And so the process is God calling us out, and then, as we know from many scriptures, we are His workmanship. He takes over the job of changing us into His own image. We know that all things work together for good for those who are called according to His purpose. And His purpose is to change us. From glory to glory. Praise God. Well, I need changing, and I'm not capable of changing myself. That's why we're called upon to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. He can do the lifting up when it's appropriate. And it won't be us that gets lifted up. It'll be Him. Praise God. He's the only one who is worthy, as we just sang. He is worthy. So anyway, Paul is wanting to encourage them, and I won't get into where he's going with this, but there's a concern in Paul's heart because the devil doesn't just sit by idly and watch God work, does he? He's very active in trying to corrupt and misdirect and do whatever he can to hinder the work of the gospel. And so he was trying to introduce ideas into this group. Okay, this is what it means. This is how what you have to do. And it was a whole lot of works and a whole lot of, you know, different things. Keep the Sabbath and all kinds of works that had nothing to do with the gospel. And so he's wanting them to know that everything you need is in Jesus. Everything you need to know about God is there. The wisdom and everything is in him. Okay? So he begins verse 6 of chapter 2, and that's a therefore, isn't it? That's a kind of a therefore so. In light of all that I've been saying, what is the conclusion? So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. And then there's the warning that, you know, we don't need the world's wisdom to kind of get in the way here. We need what comes from him entirely. But what got my attention a number of years ago, really originally, but it just came back to me. And it's an extremely simple principle. And yet, I don't want to throw it out there like it's some sort of fix-it formula, but there's something I believe God wants me to understand in a deeper way. I've had to deal with this, and I'm having to deal with it this morning. The reality is this. It's a very simple principle. The way you start is the way you go forward. Okay? It doesn't change. There is a way that God has called us into Christ. How did it get started? We were just living our lives. Now, maybe you were brought to church and all of that, so you had a certain amount of influence. But the reality is, in order for us to have a relationship, to even begin with him, he's got to bring a conviction of a need. I've got to not only know that I am a sinner, I mean, I've got to really know it and embrace that as the truth of the matter. And it goes beyond that. I've got to come to a realization that not only am I a sinner, separated by my sins from God, destined for destruction, there's nothing I can do about it. I cannot qualify myself for the hope of his kingdom. I am entirely dependent upon mercy. And so when God makes me aware of my need, what does he do? Does he turn and say, here are my rules, keep them and I'll reward you? No, that's legalism. He immediately takes my mind from, here's the desperate situation in which I find myself. Now I want you to look at the cross. I want you to look at what I did by sending my son in your place. He was the sinless Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. I charged your sins upon him. Everything that should have landed on you landed on him. And so your deliverance from sin is to surrender your heart and put your faith 100% in Jesus and what happened on that cross. And then as we do that and believe from our hearts and confess with our mouth, Jesus as Lord, my life is now in your hands. You got the job of saving me because I can't do it. Okay? That's a quick summary of truth that we know. But think about the process. I've got to have a conviction. I've got to surrender to that conviction. There's a desire that's got to come into my heart for that to change. I have to realize I can't change it. And then I need to look to the cross 100%, and that's where all of the virtue comes from. And he answers that prayer because that's where I'm looking. I'm not looking to me. Okay? That's how we get started in the faith. And then he plants his life in our heart. He comes in by the Spirit And it's more than just a religion. It's a relationship where he literally comes to live on the inside. And we know that the Christian life, again, Paul says it in the previous chapter, it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Okay? How do we get from where we're at? Now we've come into the kingdom. He's come to live. We've got that new heart. We have a hope that we're going to get there one day. So what's God's plan for getting us there? We've got to live here. We've got to face opposition. We've got to face what's wrong. But here's the thing that really, that has kind of got my attention. You know, we talk about trials. We talk about, you know, various things that we have to deal with in the fight of faith and all of that. What are we basically fighting against? We say, oh, we're fighting against the devil. How many of you realize the devil would have no power over you if it weren't for you? Problems are not the problem. Issues are not the issue. What somebody does to you is not the problem. What the devil does is not the problem. The problem is the person you see in the mirror. And so look at this from the Lord's point of view. We have put our trust in him to save us. And he begins a work in us that he promises to continue until that day. So he's the one who's going to take me from the mess that I am, the helpless wretch that we sung about, that I am in myself, and he's going to take me all the way there, and I'm going to stand there in glory one day, ready to enter into an eternal kingdom and not mess it up, because all the bad stuff is gone. He's got a job on his hands. Now, I want you to think about the job that he's got, because here we are, and the fact of the matter is we have been programmed by living here in this world and having a nature living in this flesh that doesn't agree with him at all, wants its own way. We are totally self-absorbed by nature. And so the Lord's got a job on his hands. What does he do? Well, the first thing he's got to do is let me know about the problem. Now, you and I would love for there to be an experience where it's a one-shot deal. Oh, I get this experience and it's all taken care of, and I can just fly through the air and I'm soaring on wings like eagles and everything. All my troubles are behind me. It doesn't work that way. And so step by step, what the Lord does, he is going to provoke a situation that causes my nature to rise up and try to assert itself. Why would he do something like that? Well, now, wait a minute. Let's go back to how we got started on this deal. I had to be convicted. I had to be aware of my sinfulness, didn't I? He had to do something to make me aware of the problem. Our problem is, number one, we don't realize we've got a problem. We act and react and just think, you know, whatever we think. This world is founded upon lies. The devil will tell people anything and everything to keep them under his thumb. And the problem is he's got more influence in us than we would like to admit. I mean, it could be as simple as, you know, I'm in pain, I've got a problem, I've got something that just, I don't like it. Well, what's your natural reaction to that? Praise God! He's working in me. There isn't a person here who naturally reacts that way. We complain. We get mad. We get discouraged. We're just, whatever it is, we're focused on me and how I'm feeling. God's punishing me. Why is he doing this to me? Why is it this way and not that way? What did I do to deserve it? There's 1,001,000,001 lies that the devil will plant in our minds. And what this whole thing comes down to is a battle of lies versus truth. And the devil will put everything in your mind and mine to cause us to react like a natural person would if I'm in that particular situation. Now, God has put me there deliberately, lovingly. Why would he do that? To show me my need. But as soon as he does that, the devil says, oh boy, I got a wide open deal. I know how to handle this. So he jumps in and he plants whatever lies we are used to listening to, whatever he thinks he can get us to believe. And so all of our attention is on me and how I'm feeling and how can I change it. I don't like this. Oh, it's quiet. Yeah. And here's the Lord seeking to change us. Well, what was the answer when he showed us our sin and our guilt? Well, first of all, he had to show me that I couldn't do it, couldn't do anything about it. So suppose I get to a point where, all right, I can't, I feel this way, and maybe the Lord gets to my attention enough to say, I shouldn't feel this way. The word says to be thankful in all things. This is a thing. I don't care about it. I don't like it. But he wants me to be thankful here? And we find out we need the Lord, don't we? Lord, you organize this. I've had so many thoughts that I couldn't even hardly get them out. In the time that we have, but I don't know, there's a reality here that's so simple, and yet, how do we miss it? How I miss it? And how many times do we just give excuses? That's part of, well, that's just me. Well, me is the one that God's trying to save you from. Or the Lord knows what I'm made of. He understands. I'm that way. And, don't worry, it's all taken care of. Do you see how many lies get lined up to kind of corrupt our thinking and give us an excuse to just be something other than Jesus? Is that reaction to difficult times, I was just using that as a starting illustration, is that... Praise God, I've lost my thought there. But here's the Lord trying to work in me. And when I react the way a human, natural human being does, and I become self-absorbed and self-pitying as another, oh, poor me, what did I do to deserve this? Oh, God, God's not treating me fair. 1,001 things. Is that Jesus coming out? That's the very thing the Lord is seeking to deliver me from. It's from me. And you go on and on with everything. How about the illustration we've used many times? If somebody does something and makes you mad. Well, as we pointed out many times, nobody can make you mad. That's a choice you make, is to react in a certain way. But the Lord knows that there are weaknesses, there's programming that has happened in this poor brain up here that causes me to react to certain situations. Well, guess what the Lord's going to do? When he wants to deliver me, is he just going to ignore that and say, well, let's just smooth things over? And no, I need to be changed. I need for that thing that's in me to come out. Oh, but I don't want that. I don't want, I remember more than once talking, commenting to somebody who reacted in an angry something, some kind of way. I said, was that Jesus coming out? The problem is I could look in the mirror an awful lot of the time and say, was that Jesus coming out? The way you're thinking right now, you're tired, you're a little bit focused on yourself and how you're worried, you're anxious, you're thinking about something from the past, something from the future. Oh, God. Folks, we need our heads straightened out. And we need to face the things that are wrong with us. Now, you know, Paul talked about in Romans 12, the scripture we've used so often, about how we present our bodies a living sacrifice, and how the change that happens in our minds. We don't think right. Naturally, we don't think right. That's got to change. Well, God's going to do the changing. He doesn't say, here's a list of rules, change yourself. Be transformed is a passive thing. It means I allow something to change me. I wonder how much that the Lord's trying to change us, and we're resisting. We're fighting back. No, that's not true. I'm not really like that. I'm not that bad. And he's trying to allow the old nature to come out in such a way that he wants me to face it. He wants me to look myself in the eye, as it were, and say, yeah, that is wrong. That's me. And it doesn't matter what somebody else does and how wrong they are. There's no excuse, regardless of the circumstance and what it was that provoked that. There is no excuse for me to give in to that and allow it to dominate my, you know, what comes out. Because that's not Jesus. You know, we can sing about Christ in me and I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but Christ lives in me. We can sing that all day, but is that really true in our moment-by-moment, day-to-day life? That's where God wants to take us. Wants to take me. He's got a job on his hands. You start looking at all the things, all the ways we react. I am so thankful for one thing, many things. The Lord knew what he was getting into. How many times have you had something arise in you that you know isn't the Lord, you know isn't right, and you just get discouraged? I should have fixed that by now. I shouldn't be that way anymore. And on and on and on. And all your focus is, oh, poor me, I've got to fix it, whatever it is. The Lord's not the least bit, upset isn't the word, but yeah, the Lord isn't upset. He's not, oh my God, I discovered this terrible thing. Now what am I going to do about it? He knew that was in there. That's why he set the circumstance up to bring that out. So what is he trying to do when he's doing that? Well, what was he trying to do when he brought us to a knowledge of sin? Yeah, so we'd face it, and we would look to him and desire deliverance and look to the place where it comes from. Well, it's kind of the same way. The way you start is the way you go on. So here's the Lord looking at me and seeing a particular need. It could be a temptation. Whatever it is, there's something where I have learned how to react when the devil comes and there's a circumstance, there's a temptation, whatever it is, where the devil is trying to pull at me through my old nature and my habit is to give in to that. The Lord is going to allow you and me to go through things that bring that out. So what's he trying to do? Well, he's trying to save us, but he is trying to bring me to the point where I own it. He's looking for honesty. And it particularly happens when someone, has done something to you and it's upsetting, and maybe they really are wrong. But that's not your problem. That's God's problem. Your problem is, what are you doing? What is your reaction to that? And of course, we can feel justified because they're wrong. Oh, God, help us. And yet Jesus set that up to show us that we are the ones who are 100% wrong. That did not come from Jesus. That came from self. That came from the very thing I'm trying to save you from. And you're sitting here defending it, you know, not owning it, saying, oh, it's not that bad. Oh, it's just me. 1,001 excuses. When the one thing God seeks from every one of us is honesty. Honesty. If we can come to a place where we own what's wrong with us and face it and say, yes, Lord, truth, Lord. I'm exactly what you, that nature is exactly what you say it is, and I need help. It's not about, not my brother, not my sister, but it's me, O Lord. Standing in the need of prayer. That sounds like a pretty good first step to me, doesn't it? And like I say, the devil will oppose everything. He will do everything in his power to oppose you and me honestly taking ownership of what's wrong with us. Okay? But now suppose we come to the point where by God's mercy and God's grace, we humble ourselves and we say, yes, Lord. It's not them. It's not the circumstance. It's how I'm reacting and how I'm, what's coming out of me. It is not you. I need help. Well, now the devil's got a whole lot of other tricks, doesn't he? Well, one certainly is discouragement. Okay, I own it, but oh God, here we go again. Why didn't I fix this years ago? And just on and on and on with, you got to try harder. I don't know nobody here has ever run into that one. So they say, we have this litany of lies that rules the world. If there's something wrong, you got to fix it. Folks, if we could fix it, we'd be filled with pride, and that's kind of at the heart of human nature. I need mercy. Thank God that's what he offers. But God has got to bring us to an honest knowledge of what's wrong, and he can only do that when he allows circumstances that brings that out. He's not the least bit dismayed by that, and he doesn't want us to be dismayed or discouraged. Now think about the picture that was painted by the Israelites getting ready to take their territory, and the Lord's talking to Joshua. Don't be dismayed. Don't be discouraged. I'm with you wherever you go. On and on. He has to say it over and over again. Don't you be afraid. You're going to see all kinds of things that are bigger than you are. Don't be afraid. That's kind of how the Lord wants us to see it. Wouldn't it be good if we could be, number one, something comes out and we know it's not right and we can be totally honest about it, and yet we cannot be dismayed as though, oh God, I thought I was good and here I am, I'm bad. Get over yourself. We need a Savior. So I've got to come to the point where, number one, I know there's something wrong in me that I've allowed to have a place in my life, and it finds expression under the right circumstances. I need help. And I got to come to a place where I know I can't do anything about it. Isn't that a good place to be? There's no way I can fix it. I can't come up with a bunch of do-it-yourself rules and then it'll fix it. What is the Lord's answer to all of this? Where did we go when we come to Christ in the first place? He took us through our need, our inability, gave us the desire for a change. Where did he then take us? To the cross. To the cross. That's exactly where he takes us day by day by day if we are open and listening and willing. He takes me right back to the cross. Well, think about what Paul said in, I'm not going to turn over there, but in Romans 6, we've used the passage many times. He talks about the fact that it isn't just that my sins were judged there. There's an amazing amount of things that God did there. But do you know that if you're his, God put you to death in Jesus? We have been so made one with him that when he died, I died. When he was buried, I was buried. When he rose from the dead, I rose from the dead to a new life. That's why I can say that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Now, do you think just maybe there's a little room for us to grow in this area? we don't actually live in the moment as if that's true. So here we have a battle of the devil trying to give every sort of reason for this is okay, or this is just how it is, or whatever the lie is. And the Lord's pointing us to the reality of what God has already done on the cross and wanting us to reckon on that, to treat it like the truth, because it is. He wants my eyes to be there instead of here. I believe there's a lot of things that the Lord would do in us if we understood that. If we understood that he broke the hold of the old man, that we died to sin. Now, that's a strange thing that I think we need to understand some things about. Dying to sin doesn't mean your old nature stops wanting what it wants. If you're waiting for your old nature to stop lusting, hating, being angry, being unforgiving, you're waiting for something that ain't going to happen until this body is put under or cooked or whatever. But I tell you, we need the Lord, don't we? Praise God. But here's the deal. Now, I've used this illustration before, and about Donald and his trumpet. So, Donald, forgive me. But let's just suppose for a moment that the trumpet, this particular trumpet, it's not Donald's, it's somebody else playing the trumpet, and it's something you don't want, it shouldn't happen, we just don't need that trumpet music. Lord, stop the trumpet music. Now that would be like asking God, make my nature stop wanting sin. Fix my nature so I don't feel that anymore. It's not a problem. I don't have any, I'm whatever. My nature just stops wanting what it wants. That would be like trying to force the trumpet to stop playing. But now suppose you die. And now we've got you in a casket up here in the front of the church. That trumpet can come around and play as much as it wants to. It ain't going to bother the corpse. Because they have died to the trumpet. And that's what the Lord wants us to see. We have died to sin. It doesn't own me anymore. Now the devil will tell me, oh, if you feel that, oh, you've got to make it stop. I'll tell you, God wants to bring us to the place where it doesn't own us anymore. We don't have to listen. It's compared in the scripture to a slave master. If you are owned by a slave master, then as long as he owns you, he has the right to tell you what to do. And he just says, do this, and that's it. He owns you. You got to do it. But suppose that relationship is broken. He doesn't own you anymore. Does that mean the slave master is not going to come around trying to get you to do stuff? See, that's the problem. This particular slave master doesn't quit. He's going to keep talking. He's going to keep working. He's going to keep stirring up whatever he can stir up to get us to try to believe, oh, I still have to obey. I'll tell you, God is working in us in amazing ways if we will just get our eyes off of ourselves and stop listening to the lies and start actually, I believe God wants to make the cross so real that it's not just a doctrine that we believe, but it's something where right now I can receive help that I need in this moment because of what Jesus did, because that's where my eyes are. Yes, I hear the voices trying to make me listen, trying to work on me, but I can tune that out and say, I don't believe that lie anymore. I believe actively, not just doctrinally in my head. I believe in this moment that what Jesus did is real, that God's promise is real. Not only that, it's something that I can benefit from. I can live out right this moment. I don't have to listen to your voice anymore, devil. Your nature is going to keep crying out as long as you live in this body. But God can bring us to a place where we learn how to say no because we recognize God has already defeated that enemy at the cross. We have been raised with Him from the dead and seated in heavenly places in Christ. We believe that as doctrine, but God is trying to bring us to where we live that. Okay? Now, as I said at one point, we'd all like this to somehow happen in an experience where it's a one-off, you come to the knowledge of it, and boom, the job is done and we're all set. But you know, it didn't even happen that way for Paul, did it? As long as we're here, he's going to be working. That means there's going to be needs. Don't you be dismayed if the Lord, you've walked with the Lord for decades, and suddenly there's a need that comes out, and maybe it's something you felt before, and all of a sudden, my God, that came out, and I know that wasn't Jesus. And the devil's going to jump all over you with condemnation, with discouragement, and whatever. And the Lord said, I knew that was there all along. Today is a day that I want you to face it and look to me, and I'm going to help you with this. Because I'm not dismayed by what's happening. I know the enemy is there. I know this is part of the process of my changing you. You need changing. Are you going to humble yourself in my hand and say, yes, Lord. Truth, Lord. There's no good thing in me. Paul said that. Not one good thing that dwelt in him. And think about how Paul dealt with this process. We've used the scripture many times in Philippians chapter 3 about how Paul, you know, reached a point where he left his old self-righteous religion behind. He realized everything was in Jesus. That's all I need. All that God wants to do for me, he did in Christ. And if I can fix my attention on that, that's going to solve every issue. And he's going to take me through the step-by-step through life. But didn't he also say, I don't count myself as having obtained all this? This is a moment by moment, day by day experience. Boy, he had some awesome principles in that. How many of you, and he says, forgetting what is behind. How many of you are good at that? I don't see any hands. I better put mine down. Every one of us carries the baggage of the past. Don't you realize that when God allowed his son to be crucified on the cross, all of your past was with him and in him and went into that grave? May God give us the power to leave it there and walk forward free. I don't know if it's unforgiveness, if it's hurt, if it's whatever it is, God can heal that. If it's a persistent failure in certain areas and you're discouraged by that, bring that to him. Bring it to him in faith and say, Lord, I look to you. But I know this is a battle that I'm fighting. But oh God, I have given it to you. And now here's another day. And I've put that beside me. I'm leaving it in the past. And I'm not going to sit here and worry about the future. Oh God, what's going to happen? My job is right now in the moment to look to you, to allow you to bring out whatever need you know is in there. For me to look at that honestly and then to come to you with a sense that I know I can't fix this. And maybe it's a protracted battle. It happens that way. Not all battles are real simple. Many times the habit of listening and our mind being formed in a certain way has been so deep that it takes time to exercise ourselves and constantly say, no, I will not look to, I'm looking to the cross. I'm trusting you this moment for the grace I need for this moment. That's kind of how the Christian life is, what it breaks down to. I can't fix the past, I can't fix the future, but I can look to him now. Oh, by the way, isn't that kind of what Hebrews 12 says? There's an endurance, there's a patience, but there's also a looking to Jesus. Where do we look? The author and the finisher, Oh, praise God, the completer. He gave me what I needed to get started, but he's going to take me all the way home. That's where my eyes need to be. When I sense needs, they don't need to be on the need other than facing it. Then I need to immediately lift my eyes and say, Lord, you knew about this. You knew about it before the foundation of the world. You saved me anyway. And everything that I need is in you. But Lord, I need some of that. You've talked about the unsearchable riches of Christ. Well, Lord, I can't even pay for lunch. I need some of that right now. I need to be able to write a check. And I'm looking to this. Here's the devil telling me all this stuff. It's a battle of lies and truth. Is what God said that he did in Christ, is that the truth? Is it? Do we treat it as the truth when we're facing the need in the daytime? That's the question. See, it comes down to faith, and faith has to get past circumstances. It has to get past feelings. We live in a sense-driven world. We touch, we feel things in our bodies, and all of that. But God has to bring us to a place where that's not what governs us. I'm able, like Abraham, to say, yeah, I know all this looks bad, it looks impossible, but God said, that's what I'm going by. God said it, that settles it. I believe it. You see where God wants to take us every single day? Do you want to gain ground in the Lord, or do you want to just sit there and same old, rising up, I get mad, it just comes out. That's okay, God's taking care of it. Do you think God just wants to leave us like we are? Or do you think he wants us to constantly take us to point to the cross and to get a hold of that? I'm gonna go back and look at Philippians 2:3 rather. Because Paul says, not in verse 12, not that I have already obtained all of this, all the things he sought, to be one with Christ and to experience it all. I haven't obtained all this. It's not mine. I'm not there yet. I haven't got it all. Or have already arrived at my goal. But what does he do? I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Christ Jesus took hold of you for a reason, and me. He planted a hope that he was going to take me all the way home. So all of that he has taken hold of, he's put in me. All right, so what is that? What am I supposed to be doing? There is something I need to take hold of. I'm in a need. I'm in a place of need right now. What's coming out of me ain't Jesus. And I want it to be Jesus. And so I need something that comes from that cross. That's the only hope that I have. I can't fix this except to look to what God has already done, what he has promised. I need that. I need the supply for today. I'm not going to worry about yesterday or tomorrow, but I need something right now. Wouldn't it be good if every time the devil worked on us and pulled on our old nature, we were able to look away and say, Jesus, you've allowed this because you love me and you're working to change me. But right now, I need something. I need to withdraw something from my account in heaven. Have we got enough in our account? We got unsearchable riches of Christ, as we said earlier. Everything we need is there. But my problem is, it's there and I'm here. So he puts me in a position where I need to ask him. We don't have because we don't ask. Wouldn't it be good if I could come to a place where a need shows up and I'm totally honest about it? And I recognize I can't do this. I recognize you have provided everything, but Lord, I need it right now. I need you to help me. I need grace to flow from heaven into my heart to give me the power, because this darkness has a power. My old nature is a force. It's a power. It's more powerful than I am. I need something that's more powerful than that. And the only thing is your mercy and your grace. And you have promised it to me. I'm asking, Lord, right now, And I'm asking, be on the basis of what Jesus did at the cross, that you would take what you have done for me there and apply it to me right now in this moment. It sounds almost simplistic. It almost sounds like you're playing sort of a mind game. Positive thinking. Is what God said true? Is what Jesus did true? God wants it to be true more and more. And yet, even in this, and I realize I'm going through this circumstance today, and I need to be able to say no and to not allow that other thing to control me. I need to be thankful. If I don't feel good, or if somebody makes me mad, I can just say, wait a minute, I don't have to listen to that. I can choose to find grace in a spirit of forgiveness and to have a right spirit in this circumstance. Lord, you're able to help me. That's all God's looking for, is that moment. It's a moment by moment by moment thing where we look to him and he takes us through and he gives us the strength. If it's something that's protracted, a battle that's protracted, and we need endurance, that's what I need. If I need a strength to say no to a temptation, that's what I need, whatever it is. Praise God, it's a battle of the mind, isn't it? Casting down reasonings and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. The reality is everything you and I need to have Jesus live out through us has been done at the cross. And that's where God wants me to start looking a whole lot more than I have. There may be one or two others here that know what I'm talking about. But I tell you, I'm so glad the Lord is patient and merciful. He's not dismayed at our weaknesses. That's why he saved us. He just wants us to learn how to take the same principle. Again, when I came to him in the beginning, he showed me my need. He brought me to a place where I knew I couldn't do anything about it, but I wanted it fixed. And then he showed me the Savior and called me on me to hand my life over to him, put my trust in him to save me and forgive me. And he did. That's the same principle he wants me to walk in today with whatever need he brings to light in my life. Now, if something happens this afternoon and you blow up and you get mad, wouldn't it be good if we could see the Lord in that and say, wait a minute, Lord, you did that. You allowed that to happen to show me what was in me. And I own it 100%. Lord, it was me. Doesn't matter what anybody else did, it's me. And I need to be changed. And I need to look to what Jesus has done and what you promised at the cross. I need to take hold of some of that right now to change my attitude and to change my spirit. I want you to live out in me. Praise God. There's a simplicity in this, and yet it's not a formula. It's a set of principles where God wants us to learn and to grow. So don't be discouraged if things come out. They got to. How's God going to change us if we just bury everything and pretend we're good? God's got to bring it out. We've got to face it, bring it to the cross, and lay it down and say, Lord, you have lifted me up. You have come to live within me. I have power over this thing. I don't have to surrender to it. I can be a different person, even if it's a gradual, a little bit at a time. And it is. It's not something you'll learn overnight. And I'll tell you, the Lord that started this work is going to keep doing it, isn't he? He's not going to quit. But he wants us to lift up our eyes and understand the way you started is the way you live. Real complicated, isn't it? I just pray that God will help us to learn and to grow. And every time there's a need, own it, bring it to the cross, reach out for the help that we need to deal with that in the moment. Don't worry, there'll be other things to come, but you don't have to worry about that right in that moment. Let's say, Lord, you're faithful, and I'm trusting in you. I'm actively looking to you right now, and I thank you for the answer. I thank you for being with me and giving me the help and the answer that I need right now. And I worship you, and I praise you, and I turn my attention away from whatever it is, and I just give you the praise. Wouldn't that be a good way to live? May God help us. He is. He's wonderful, isn't he? Praise God.